Welcome to our new podcast series, Round Rock Sunday Sermons. My name is Brad Britton, senior pastor at First United Methodist Church of Round Rock. We are so glad you've connected with us. You can connect in different ways through social media, through our live streams on Facebook or YouTube, our website, fumc-rr.org. Use hashtag FUMCRR. Also, please leave a 5-star review. We are here to walk with you and look forward to seeing you soon, however you join in. In the very near future, we'll be adding community missions to these podcasts, so stay plugged in to find out how you can help. We want you to know that we want to get to know you, to connect with you, and be the church where you can plug in and grow in your faith in Christ. And so, thank you. We welcome you, and let's take this journey together.
We are so blessed with an amazing band. No matter who's up leading it, they do it so well. This morning, we were here at 7:15, and Pat asked Amanda to sing a line from one of the songs as he was getting ready, and she just sang it so beautifully. And I wish I had that gift just to sing out something so beautifully. And Tripp said, well, that's why there's auto-tune. And then I told him a story when I was some friends who were very musical and they were singing and they had an app for auto-tune and I sang into it and it came out and they said, I thought it was supposed to sound good after that and it didn't. So I just don't have that talent. Well, we're so glad you're here this morning. Just a few minutes ago, we greeted each other warmly. Now I want you to try something a little different. Look to your left, look to your right, and judge each other. We'll have microphones open so you can give your comments later on. I mean, that'd be ridiculous if we actually did that. I mean, no one wants to be judged. Well, maybe except for Angela from The Office. She really likes being judged. We live in this really judgmental world. Some of us maybe are a little better at not judging other people, while other of us maybe have a resting, judging face. We're picking these Sermon on the Mount sayings from Jesus, and Brad delineated out to different pastors, and I think he was judging us with those of us who struggle with this issue the most. Last week, Pat had worry, I have judging. Brad, what are you talking about next week?
Love.
Love, okay. His problem is that he loves too much. We first hear this line, do not judge or you too will be judged. And we squirm in our seats just a little bit. There's a story about John. John was heading to the bank and in some dirty work clothes, in his old beat up truck. He goes into the bank to cash a check. And he goes back out, and they just had done something different to the parking lot. Now you had to pay for it. And the parking lot attendant says, well, if you go inside the bank, they'll validate it. John says, this is no problem. I've been doing business with this bank for over 30 years. And I guess they had some new staff because the teller looked at John up and down and says, well, no, I can't validate your ticket. You have to do real business with us, and cashing a check isn't real business. So John says, well, get me the manager. The manager looks John up and down again and says, no, we can't validate your ticket either. And this story was told in about the 1950s, and the ticket was about 60 cents for the parking lot. So John says, well, you don't want to do business with me. I won't do business with you. Goes up to teller, says, I'm going to close my account. Give me all my money. John goes to the bank next door and deposits millions of dollars. Being judgmental can be really expensive. But judgment doesn't just happen with adults, it happens with kids. Rebecca, who is our director of our kids ministry, told me this story this week. She was driving in her car with her daughter, Dixie. There was this favorite Christian song on, she had the radio turned up, and she was singing out loud. And Dixie says, Mom, can you turn the music down? So Rebecca turns the radio down and starts singing. And then Dixie goes, Mom, can you stop singing? And Rebecca goes, what are you talking about, Dixie? I am singing a beautiful song to Jesus. And in a childlike response, Dixie says, baby Jesus is sleeping. Shh, turn the volume down. And I went into the children's wing, kids' wing, and I was telling the staff this, and I said, you know, it's hard to be really judged by a kid. And one of the other staff members goes, maybe the kids are just being honest to us. So what is Jesus getting at when he says, do not judge? If you look at the word in Greek, it's krino. And just like English, they have different definitions of it. One of the definitions is decide, that we all make decisions in our life. We decide what we're going to wear. We decide what route we're going to take to work. We decided we wanted to come hear a sermon about judgment rather than having breakfast this morning. Another way to view this word is the word judge. So is Jesus getting that we shouldn't judge at all? We should let anything go. There's no moral judgment. We shouldn't use critical thinking. We shouldn't have any moral compass. Or is it something different than that? Because believe it or not, we do want some judgment in our life. If you go and buy a house and you have a home inspector, you definitely want that home inspector to really judge that house. Is it safe to live in? Are there going to be any problems in the house that you need to know about beforehand? Or if you go to lunch after church, you want to make sure the cook or the chef prepares a tasty meal and that it's safe to eat. So I think this is what Jesus is getting at in that second verse when he says, judge the way you judge, the way others will judge you. Because we want some judgment in our life, and judgment that maybe we all agree on is fair. Our kids go to Camp Eagle. In my first year, I was driving with some eighth grade boys in the back. It was my first year going there. And just before you get to the camp, there's this long stretch of road, dirt road with a lot of rocks, and it's called 8 Mile. And it has a suggested speed limit that you're supposed to go on it. I was in my Jeep. I had 4x4. I could handle this road. So I'm zipping along. Dust is piling up everywhere. And then a light pops up on my car. I had a pullover, I had a flat tire. The rest of the caravan kind of pulls up beside me. They come in and check in, and the eighth grade boys go, Pastor Johnson was driving too fast. Their judgment was very accurate on the speed, and so I did the shame drive back into town to get a brand new set of tires. Sometimes judgment is good. So what type of judgment is Jesus getting at? Well, let's think about how Jesus saw some people in Scripture who judged. Who did he have the most problems with? It wasn't those that we consider sinners today, but it was the Pharisees, the elite who put judgment on other people. People who maybe filled in the gap with others. We do that sometimes when we judge other people, making assumptions of why they're doing what they're doing. And maybe we go a little farther and start talking about them publicly. Do you know what that person did to me at my job today? Did you see what they were wearing at church? Then as Christians, we might take it even farther and say, Jesus agrees with me in my assessment of the other person. It's like, Jesus, come over here. Do you see what that person did? They're the worst. And Jesus goes, oh, you are so right. And we kind of had this moral superiority. And maybe Jesus says to us, thank you so much. Being the creator of the heavens and the earth is a full-time job. It's so hard. So thank you for helping me judge other people. We draw this line in the sand. It's us and Jesus and that other person we kind of push far away. We see ourselves as God's appointed person on judgment. But when we do that, we make ourselves blind to our own failings, brokenness, and sins in our lives. I like Bonhoeffer's definition of this. It says, judging others makes us blind, whereas love is illuminating. By judging others, we are blind to ourselves and our own evil, and to the grace which others are just as entitled to as we are. When we judge other people, we look at them the wrong way. We're looking at it maybe through the wrong lenses. A few summers ago, I went to Arkansas. I was hanging out with some friends in Dallas before I made the rest of my trip. The next morning, I got up and started getting ready. They had an upstairs place. One of their sons was off in college, so I got to have his room, went into the shared bathroom, threw in my contacts, and finished packing up and getting ready. And I noticed there's something wrong with my contacts. The doctor must have given me the wrong prescription. Maybe my allergies in Dallas were bothering me. I was a little getting upset because I forgot to pack another set of contacts, and it was going to be hard to make the rest of the drive with my glasses and putting shades over them. I was like, what was going on? Then I heard a knock on my door, and the other son says, hey, have you seen my contacts? I had put his contacts in my eyes. I was seeing with the wrong prescription. I was seeing the world the way that it wasn't intended. Sometimes we do that when we judge other people. We're looking through the wrong lenses. But then Jesus in the scripture tells this humorous story about a log or a plank. Okay, I want to ask this question because I think sometimes the music I listened to in the early 90s and 2000, I was the only one. Anybody heard of the band Plank Eye? Okay, nobody. Okay, I was the only one. There was like a 90s Christian band called grunge band called Plank Eye. So Jesus is telling this story and saying, it's kind of like when we judge other people, we have this large plank in our eye looking for the problems of other people. It's like, Beck, you have a problem of being too tall and too awesome. Well, I have this big plank in my eye looking at other people. I'm going to whack people with this as I'm judging them. But Jesus isn't saying also that the speck that it talks about isn't really in that person's eye. They may actually have a speck. But maybe we need to deal with our own plank before we start judging that other people. And what is that person doing to see the speck in their eye? They're using their eyes. It's this vision problem that we have. That the person could have something going on in their life that we need to look at. They need to be aware of. But maybe we need to know more about that person before we start making a judgment. A pastor told me the story. They were doing this funeral for a family who lost their child. After the service, the parents were in the car, and the pastor hands them the remains of the child as they got ready for the funeral service, the burial service. They take off and get ready to turn to a turning lane. The pastor's right beside them. And the light turned green. And the grieving parents didn't move right away, but someone just behind the pastor was getting really frustrated and started laying on the horn. Why aren't you going? We have places to go. But it's hard for them to move forward because of the grief that was going on. The pastor understood, but the person behind that pastor couldn't figure out what was going on. Sometimes we have to understand the full story of a person before we start making the judgments. I think there's another kind of analogy of this, another implication in this story that we need to understand, that why we do judging in our life. It's really about the other person, but maybe what's going on in our own lives. A lot of times we judge other people because we see the flaws that we see in them, we see in our own lives. And because we see it in living color, we get really frustrated by it. Or on the other end, they're dealing with something that we've never had a problem with. It's a sin, it's a character flaw that we don't struggle with, so it's easier for us to call it out. Like, I have never struggled with it. Why do you struggle with it? And we start judging people, we start drawing that line. It's us and Jesus and that other person. So I think Jesus is getting at this other definition of condemnation. And Dallas Willard, I'm using a lot of quotes today, has this great explanation. When we condemn another, we really communicate that he or she, in some deep and just possibly irredeemable way, is bad. Bad as a whole, and to be rejected. In our eyes, the condemned is among the discards of human life. He or she is not acceptable. We sentence that person to exclusion. So how do we deal with all this mess going on in our life, the things that we struggle with? I mean, we do need people in our lives who walk alongside us to correct things in our life, to see that little piece of dust in our eyes. As we were discussing the scripture this week, we had different Bible studies. And the consensus of the group is that we're more likely to respond to people who know our story, who know us and care about us at a deep level. Those people can take those little specks out of our eye. I work with a counselor. I've dealt with this counselor for over a year now. And we have breaks where I don't see them. And I was just doing a little check-in and just talking about an issue I was dealing with. And I said, well, there's this person in my life, and I know they're not going to want to do that. And the counselor says, David, you're being really arrogant. I mean, if a stranger came up and said, David, you're being arrogant, I would have taken it one way. But I had this deep, long relationship with this counselor. I actually paid them to call me out on my stuff. And he said, well, I apologize for using, you know, that word arrogant, but, and I said to stop them. I was like, no, I really appreciate you being so candid with me. It helped me kind of see that situation in a different light, to help me understand maybe there's a more deeper story going on with that person. So I'm working in this kind of leadership group, and this week we talked about emotional intelligence. And so I think there's kind of three different ways that we can work on maybe not judging other people other ways besides knowing their story is start off with curiosity. The facilitator said that anytime you enter a room, you go to a meeting, you're dealing with other people, start with this standard of curiosity. I think I have a little graphic about curiosity being kind of the center point of the emotions we take. We can take it from all the way up to grateful to all the way to depressed, but the midline is curiosity. What's going on with that person? What's the story behind the story? Behind the words they say, behind the emotional reaction they have, maybe there's something deeper going on. And our facilitators say this is the best way. So you don't go all the way to the top to somebody who's really wise or someone who's really depressed. It's this middle place we take when you enter a room with other people. Another way forward, another way for us to deal with judgment is, what if we saw the best in people instead of seeing the worst in people? Assuming that people are trying the best they can in every situation, we look at them with grace and love, the same way that Jesus looks at us each and every day. And a third way, and I think this can be the most challenging thing to deal with, is stop judging ourselves. Psychologists will say those in our lives that we see as most judgmental are probably judging themselves tenfold. What if we saw ourselves with love and grace? We tried to see ourselves in the best way possible. We're about to have communion in a few moments. And this table, if you reflect back on the story, Jesus with his disciples. He was with Peter, who was going to deny him three times, with Judas, who was going to sell him away for few pieces of silver, but they were still invited to this table of grace and love. Frederick Buechner has this great quote. All of us are judged every day. We are judged by the face that looks us from the bathroom mirror. We are judged by the faces of people we love and by the faces and lives of our children and by our dreams. We are judged by the faces of people we do not love. Each day finds us at the junction of many roads, and we are judged as much by the roads we have not taken as by the roads we have. But there will be a day on which all of our days and all of our judgments upon us and all the judgments upon each other will themselves be judged. The judge will be Christ. In other words, the ones who judge us most finely will be the ones who loves us most fully. Christ's love sees us with terrible clarity and sees us whole. Christ's love so wishes our joy that is ruthless against everything in us that diminishes our joy. Let us pray and invite the pastors up as we go into communion. Gracious and loving God, help us to ruthlessly eliminate judgment in our lives for ourselves and the world around us, so we can see with that same love and grace you see all of us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's sermon series podcast from First United Methodist Church of Round Rock, Texas. For more information, you can find us online at fumc-rr.org or find us on social media at fumcrr.